Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Cinephiles Extended Cut. This is a show where we break down the biggest stories of the week as covered by WatchMojo's The Cinephiles, as well as some other big stories that didn't quite make the cut. So if you like this, be sure to subscribe to Mojo Talks for more. I'm your host. My name's Matt, and I have my panel here. I got Justin, Phoebe, who's new this week, so let's give her a little round of applause, I should say. Phoebe, welcome. And, of course, Liam at the end of the table there.
Wow, that was a lovely introduction for Liam.
It's all good. I just tease. So I guess we'll throw it to the first segment, which we like to call What You Watchin', which is basically us just gabbing about what we've seen on the big screen lately.
Or the small screen.
Whoa. Are we talking TV small screen?
No. I watch movies on small screen, okay. Too.
Correct.
Let's not... TV, guys. Let's not talk about TV.
What even is that?
What is TV? So I guess let's throw it to Phoebe. It's your first show. We're super stoked to have you,
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for
having me. Let us know. What have you been watching?
I recently watched a horror movie by Netflix. It's called The Ritual.
Ooh, scary.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's sort of like a psychological thriller that takes place in the Scandinavian wilderness.
Oh, extra scary.
It's really creepy. It's like a group of four guys who are going on a trip together, and then they take a detour through the woods. It's got all of those sort of horror movie cliches, but it's really, really good, and it's being praised really highly, most notably by Guillermo del Toro. So it's
Oscar
definitely
winner.
Worth a watch. And I think that Netflix is putting out some really good horror movies lately.
They just put up Veronica.
Veronica,
which I saw.
Did you think it was the scariest
movie
ever?
No, I did not.
Made?
I think that's all hype, to
it's
be honest.
Hype, yeah.
I don't know if the same things are being said about The Ritual, but...
Nobody said it's the scariest movie ever made, but it's definitely, it's a good one. It's scary. It's got like a big monster, and it's really cool.
Big monster.
A big monster.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why Guillermo del Toro likes it so much.
I was going to say, you throw a monster in there, and you got Guillermo's attention.
Yeah,
he loves his big monsters.
Is there any romance involving the monster this time?
They're not this time.
Okay, so
maybe
less
in
the
series.
I'm an 8 on 10 for Guillermo.
Might have been less scary.
Not a
although
10 on 10.
The fish and the some people might have thought that was scary. Anyways. I digress.
Fair enough.
I digress.
I mean, he eats cats, doesn't he?
That was
he
scary.
Eats boiled eggs. You know that.
But he also ate a cat.
With a side of cat.
With
yeah.
a side
Spoilers.
Of cat. Yeah, I don't really mind when horror movies kind of stick to cliche, as long as it's like done right and done in an effective way.
And
so
It felt that way. It was definitely done right.
I also love the setting of wilderness. Blair Witch Project is my favorite horror movie of all time, so I will check that out.
Something inherently scary about the woods.
Not a fan.
I'd agree. Justin, how about you? What have you been watching?
Last night we checked out Thoroughbreds.
The three of us did. Yeah,
yeah.
Phoebe, sorry.
Thank you for
I
the
guess
invite.
your invite must have gotten lost in the mail.
That's fine. I was really busy last night anyways.
Oh, okay.
Fair.
Well, now I guess we feel a little less bad, but future invitations are coming your way, don't worry.
Thanks.
But yeah,
what
the
did you guys
did see
what did you guys think of Thoroughbreds?
I thought it was really really creepy. Really interesting. When we left the theater, all we could really talk about was the sound design of the piece. And it was
very surprising that they put that much effort into sound design for
it's
a movie
just,
like this.
There's so many like audio elements that add to like the tension of every single moment. Even when the moments aren't necessarily meant to be tense, like there's a party scene where there's this guttural soundtrack where it's like an EDM song.
Yeah.
But the vocals are this weird like throat singing guttural.
Yeah.
Almost metal sound.
Like,
and it's so disturbing and creepy.
I was really surprised at how weird this movie was. I loved it. I went in thinking it would be like one of those like dark comedies, you know, I mean, like a lot of people were comparing it to Heathers just based off the
that's
trailer.
What I heard, that it was like the new Heathers.
It was a lot weirder,
but
not weirder, but
also like with normally with like those dark comedies, they're like fast paced, like the dialogue is normally like as fast as the editing, but like this was like a slow burn. Like it doesn't really kick in until like halfway through. But even then, like the whole movie is
a lot of lingering shots, a lot of slow pace building moments.
Yeah.
Great performances. It
great
was
performances.
Like a triple
in memoriam
triple powerhouse,
to the late Anton Yelchin.
Yeah. Who Anton Yelchin's
delivered
my boy.
A crazy good performance in this movie. He
That's
isn't
his final
in
film,
it
right?
much.
Yes, I believe so.
He wasn't in it much, but when he was in it, it was like such a weird and kind of off-kilter character that he kind of stole every scene that he was in
a
little
bit. I was telling you guys after we saw it, it's like I was saying Olivia Cooke, I think she's a tremendous actress, incredibly underrated, so you guys definitely check her out in some other the other stuff she did. Definitely check out Thoroughbreds. As good as she was, though, every time Anton Yelchin came on screen, I was like, man, this guy's, he's kind of stealing the show. It was hard for me to say that because the performances all around were so great.
Yeah, definitely.
And his character was just like such a weirdo, kind of quirky, sleazy. Weird. Yeah.
They're all like really complex characters, I found. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Especially Anya Taylor-Joy's character, who I thought was like very complex and very like a dark character.
Yeah,
She's in a lot lately.
Yeah,
this is a big year for her. Yeah.
I definitely think her and Olivia Cooke.
Olivia Cooke are up and comers.
Yeah, Olivia Cooke has Ready Player One coming out
next
real
week,
soon. Yeah, so yeah, and I liked how the movie, like you said, it was billed as kind of like a Dark Heathers, but I like how it kind of avoided all of those like genre kind of cliches, and it was like a very unpredictable movie too. Like I don't know about you guys, but I did not know how that movie was going to end. Yeah. There was like a few twists and turns, but not like tremendous twists, you know?
Yeah, it definitely defied expectations a lot. And I think if you're someone who likes being spoon-fed information, I don't think it's a movie for you. Like, there's a scene in particular where, like, a character is, like, looking at their computer screen to see, like, text messages. I guess they have, like, iMessenger or something like that. And you want to see what's on that screen, but they, like, they completely linger on her face. And it's, like, the scene just cuts away. And it's, like, I think that is, like, such a genius way of telling a story.
Totally. Yeah. Just to sum that up there, just in case you guys haven't heard of the movie, basically it's about this girl who has mean stepdad and invites friend over. They see how, like, shitty of a person he is, and then they kind of, like, develop a plan to kill him. So,
not exactly the most original idea for a movie, but I think it's told in a way that
exactly the way it's executed.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's really deliberate in its execution of like a pretty standard murder story.
Yeah,
but it's really well told and
totally.
Interesting. I have a question about it. Yes. Is it a future cult classic as it's being hailed?
Oh,
as?
Interesting.
That's what a lot of people are saying about this film, and I want to know.
I feel like those kind of movies are few and far between for a number of reasons, and that's really interesting to bring up because. It's you see that less and less, I feel like, with modern releases.
Yeah.
Just because we're so inundated with, I hate the word, but content.
Right.
Like, there's so much stuff coming in that it makes it hard for these things to get, like, that kind of word of mouth, passing the DVD to your friends thing that was, like, so prevalent early in the 90s and the early 2000s.
You know what? I think this is, like, one of those movies where, and we live in this kind of world where it's, like, this is going to be a movie that, like, lives on Netflix, I think. And, like, it'll be one of those things where it's, like, a hidden gem of Netflix that you, like, you check out on, like, a Friday night. Right. And it's, like, it's enjoyable throughout. And I think, I don't know, I recommend it to everyone. I think it's fantastic.
It definitely has that style and that kind of... that filmmaking style, I should say, that that lends itself to becoming, if you will, a cult classic. So it has potential, but like you said, those are very good arguments, Justin. So that was our What You Watching segment. Hope you guys enjoyed that. But we're going to get into the real meat of this show now.
Meat
we're
going to
talk meat and potatoes, baby.
Making me hungry.
It's
lunchtime
soon, depending on when you guys are listening. I don't know. It could be supper. Could be in the middle of the night. Who knows?
Lunchtime's
but
all the time.
What You Watching is done. We are going to get into, like Liam said, the meat and potatoes, the top three stories of the week. That's going to come up real soon. All right, everybody, welcome back. So this segment is the top three stories of the week. So the first one is Steven Spielberg, pretty big director.
Pretty big.
He's probably the biggest director in the business right now, arguably. And recently he won, what do they call it? The Legend of Our Lifetime Award at the Rakuten TV Empire Awards earlier this week.
It's not a real thing. Legend of Our Lifetime?
Well, it's kind of like one of those honorary things, you know.
Lifetime Achievement.
Lifetime Achievement
Just
Award,
call it
exactly.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
Legend of
Lifetime Achievement TM.
Sounds like a movie he would make.
Yeah.
So,
very good point, yeah.
Clearly, he was very excited about winning this prestigious award, obviously. But he also took the time to announce that, yes, Indiana Jones 5 is indeed still happening. Mm-hmm. And he's going to start shooting it in 2019. So a little ways away, not too far. But a little bit of background information here. David Cope is going to pen the script, and he's worked with him in the past on a little film called Jurassic Park. It's a dinosaur movie.
Ooh,
and Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So he's familiar with the franchise. Having said all of that, that one probably wasn't the most well-received movie. And after that movie, does anyone, you know, is this something an odd, like, does the audience want to see this? Indiana Jones 5? What do you guys think?
I feel like it was said all in when he said in his speech, like, oh, yeah, and Indy 5 is coming. Everyone was like,
Yeah, they're kind of,
you know,
like,
they're like, okay, like, it's fine.
You just won a lifetime achievement award, so we can't, like, groan. We're going to slow clap this. And also, like Harrison Ford's going to be how old, you know, he's going to be.
Is he even going to be in it?
I think he is.
That guy wants to reboot every one of his franchises and then kill his character off, I think.
And it's funny because it's like, it seemed like he was so, like, not into the idea of jumping into these old characters again, but he's doing this, he's doing Blade Runner, he's all over the map.
It's very all over the map. It's very on brand for Harrison Ford to be like, I don't want to do it, but I guess. I don't think if he had a problem with it, he wouldn't have gone from Han Solo to being Deckard in the new Blade Runner movie.
Yeah,
right?
That's like what I'm saying.
He would have just been like, I did that. I did that already, so I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna do it again. But obviously, he doesn't have that big of a problem. But he has become that like. Old curmudgeon. Maybe he was always that way, but it really seems to be like every time he's in an interview, he's talking. Like,
he's cranky. Straight up cranky.
Curmudgeon.
Like, except for that interview with Ryan Gosling when they were promoting.
Yeah,
that was great. I think Ryan Gosling just brings the best out of everyone.
I think so.
The interviewer brought the best out of everyone.
True, that's true. That was good.
She was incredible.
Good parlance of our time, that interview was lit.
Go check it out if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. That and when you punch someone in the face, you have like an undeniable bond.
True.
Because, like,
fair enough.
He like straight up decked him when they were filming Blade Runner.
Amazing video.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe not sorry.
I think Crystal Skull is like such a stain on that franchise, and I'm surprised that they're bringing back the same writer. I mean, he did do Jurassic Park, which
he's a good. And see, this might be a hot take, but I didn't mind Crystal Skull, to be quite
honest.
I didn't
mind it when I saw it, but I was also very young.
Yeah,
I guess when you watch it in contrast with the other films and how great they are, it sort of falls short.
I'm one of those people who hates Temple of Doom, so I.
Oh, okay.
I would almost put it really on par with Crystal Skull.
Wow. you just surpassed me in the hot take of the day. Yeah. We need a sound effect for that.
Like, hot take of the day.
Yeah, or something.
Get an air horn in here.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I'm surprised they didn't get someone else to write this new one.
It makes me think that Spielberg doesn't agree with the majority of people and thinks that Crystal Skull was, by all intents and purposes,
I think he's gone on record saying he didn't think it was good, though.
Well, then, I mean, like, that's surprising me. I feel like, to go back to the same screenwriter implies, like, more of that. Like, I feel like that's the only way to read it. So maybe you're right. It's entirely possible that maybe he wasn't satisfied with the outcome, but ultimately he still had faith in the screenwriter. Yeah. So that surprises me, to be honest.
And Spielberg's kind of like, he's a director who, like, likes working with the same people.
True.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Close. I'm very curious to see what direction they go with this, because I don't think Harrison Ford can carry a movie anymore.
Oh, you're full of hot takes today, Leo.
But, okay, but like that's why they had to bring in Shia LaBeouf for the last one.
True.
Like,
drag him in the
and especially
Whoa.
Like.
Okay, so now you're saying that Shia LaBeouf has the ability to carry a movie on it. Oh, it's
okay, but you definitely know that they're going
to
try and carry the torch. It's like it's basically what they did with Blade Runner, which I don't think that's getting a sequel. So like,
You know, it would be cool if they got Ryan Gosling to take over.
They should. Amazing. That would be. I would watch that movie.
That would be.
It would be perfect.
I would watch that 100%.
I'm kind of torn.
He's got the smug attitude. I don't know.
It
could work.
It would work really well, but as you guys know, as I've mentioned in the show previously, huge Ryan Gosling fan. Yeah. He's built this reputation as being like phenomenal actor, and if you go into like this big kind of like franchisey blockbuster, it would kind of hurt my feelings.
I don't know if
a little bit, but he would still.
I'm sure
kill
he'll take
it.
That into account.
This is hypothetical.
Before he signs
this
it.
Is hypothetical.
Yeah. All hypothetical.
But I would love to see it. Yeah, that'd be great.
I definitely think they're gonna have to do something to like if they want a big franchise, they're gonna have to. Well, I mean, Indiana Jones is already a big franchise, but if they want to continue making Indiana Jones movies, they're eventually gonna have to choose someone to carry on the
Chris
torch,
Pratt.
Right?
Chris Pratt.
That's the internet's favorite
choice.
He's
the new Han Solo. He's the new Han Solo. We haven't had an actor like that come around in a long time,
right? Yeah.
So
it's funny. I was reading some articles and basically like in preparation for this little segment, the whole Indiana Jones 5 thing. And they're like speculating on who would be in the movie, and then they're asking Shia, like they interviewed Shia a while back, like, oh, are you taking over the hat and the lasso? Like, are you taking over that? He's like, oh, I would love to, but I'm not sure. And then they asked Harrison Ford, and he's like, no, that's my hat and my whip. I earned that. Shia can get his own.
He's not that protective of any of his other franchises. But
it's interesting.
It's like,
don't touch that whip, man.
It's because Indiana Jones is his coolest character. Yeah. Hot take of the century.
We got to take the mic away from Liam. It's gonna burn.
It's on fire.
It's on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, that's, I mean, this has garnered a lot of conversation between us. So, I mean, maybe it's doing the same out in the film world just and friends are talking about it. Who knows?
Just another franchise for Disney to make a whole lot of money off of.
True. That's true. So I guess the summation is basically like, yeah, it's cool. Harrison Ford Ford truck F-150.
Not sponsored.
Not an ad.
Not sponsored.
But I guess it's just we want to see like who else is in the cast, and then we can kind of judge from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So moving on to the second entry. This was the number two entry on the OG Cinephile show, if you will. It's a bit of a it's indie news. Indie news, guys.
Love me some indie news.
So this was the first trailer to the neo-noir Under the Silver Lake.
You had me in suspense for that last
was
word.
Was it Silver what? Lake.
Silver what?
And the first thing that really sparked my interest in this was that it was from the It Follows director, David Robert Mitchell. Mm. Loved that movie. And then I got even more excited when I found out that Andrew Garfield is in the lead role. So I'm pretty stoked. It's basically about this dude, he meets a girl, they have like a wonderful night together, and then the next day she disappears, and he has to go on this mission to obviously find her because
sounds
he's like
familiar.
In love with her. Sounds familiar.
Like Paper Towns.
Towns.
That is basically a plot of Paper Towns.
Yeah, I'm gonna
They're
say Paper Towns sucked.
He probably pitched it as Paper Towns meets Inherent Vice.
Paper Towns meets a good movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It does. From the trailer, it does look like you're unfit PI movie like Inherent Vice comes to mind.
Well, yeah, totally.
Also The Big Lebowski comes to mind.
Oh, that's good.
Stuff
like
that where not in terms of I think this movie will be as good as those two, which I consider both of those like classics.
Oh, those are classics, of course.
But it does follow in the same vein of like this plenty of characters, kooky characters, twists and turns, like mysteries and plots that go nowhere, but also kind of divulge into different conspiracies. Also, The Nice Guys kind of comes to mind as well. Mm-hmm. It does seem like it's going to be in that,
but
like genre.
Very original, I find.
I agree. Yeah,
like the imagery, I think, in the trailer.
Yeah,
is
visually, it is very unique. Yeah,
I'm such a big fan of It Follows, and I've been waiting for this guy's next movie. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting you said Inherent Vice because I read a book by, I know this isn't a podcast about books, but
Thomas Pynchon,
who wrote Inherent Vice, also wrote another book called The Crying of Lot 49, which is almost exactly the plot of this movie, but I think it's doing something like very different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm so excited about this movie.
Yeah. I actually even got I don't know if this is a hot take, but I got Mulholland Drive vibes too.
Really?
It was like almost David Lynchian, but like
interesting.
Like, it's very LA,
set in the same place. And also just that scene, you know, when they're like, oh, they're like symbols and stuff, and it had that symbol that looked a lot like the Twin Peaks logo, it has that
Twin
mystery
Peaks
around
vibes.
It too. So I kind of got that vibes, those vibes, I should say.
I think Topher Grace is credited as being in this movie, but I don't think, was he in that trailer?
Yeah,
is he the
he's
old guy?
Briefly in the trailer.
If he's the,
at one
who's
point.
The guy? Who's
no,
the old
I don't
guy?
Think he's the old
is
guy.
That's like a guy.
I think he has like one line in the trailer.
Okay.
I remember being like, is that Topher Grace? But now that you've confirmed it.
Because I was looking on the Wikipedia page afterwards, and I saw Topher Grace, and I'm like, I don't remember seeing him. Was he the old guy in makeup?
Same.
So
I thought the,
old now.
The same thing. I didn't know if he was the old guy, but I was looking through the wiki, and I saw Topher Grace. I was like, oh, see, I would have been happy if I just had been surprised watching it for the first time.
Also, shout out to Riley Keough, who is
I love
incredible.
Her. She's amazing.
Yes.
Big fan of Riley Keough. So with all this said, do we think it's going to reach the same levels in terms of hype and acclaim as It Follows? What do we think?
Hype?
I think it has all the ingredients to get there.
Hype? I'm not sure. Because It Follows had the benefit of being a much anticipated and critically acclaimed horror movie coming out of the festival circuit.
Yeah.
And those movies tend to translate a bit better to kind of the mainstream culture. People are more willing to accept a weird horror movie than I think they are to go see a neo-noir.
Yeah.
Just from box office numbers alone, it seems like that is the case.
Okay.
Maybe this breaks the mold. I mean, Andrew Garfield is kind of a big recognizable face.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I really hope this movie does well, but I don't know if it'll get the kind of attention that It Follows got coming out of the festival circuit.
Would you concur with that, Liam? Go ahead.
I'll send it to Phoebe after. I also think that It Follows came out at a time where it was like right after The Babadook came out, I think.
Right.
And people were like so ready to call this new horror movement, like indie horror movement.
It felt like almost like a resurgence of the horror.
I remember when that movie came out and everyone was like, oh, there's like, we're in a new era of horror. So yeah. I think it had that going for it. Has this premiered anywhere? I don't think there's been any word about how good this movie is.
That's a good question, which I cannot answer at this point. I assume that it'll probably hit a few festivals before its release. It comes out in June.
Right.
So
okay, I'm excited.
Yeah. Phoebe, what do you think?
I think it looks amazing. I watched the trailer and I was already sort of on the edge of my seat. And I agree with you that I don't know if the fact that it's not categorized as necessarily like a horror film or anything like that is going against it or not.
Okay.
But like it looks really good and I hope that it does well. Andrew Garfield, he's done like a lot of really, really good performances. So I'm excited to see it.
Me too.
Yeah.
And it's A24.
They've been putting out a lot of good movies.
A24.
Like a lot.
Do no wrong, in my opinion.
Seems like it.
Anytime I watch a new trailer and I see that A24 logo come up, I'm like, all right, here we go.
And they know it too. They know it too, because now they're starting to put the logo in weird places. Like yesterday we saw the trailer for that upcoming horror movie. I'm blanking on
that. Oh, Hereditary.
Hereditary, yes.
That movie looks terrifying. Yeah. I almost don't want to see that movie because I'm so scared to watch it.
It looks
incredibly disturbing.
But they hide the A24 logo is like, as you descend into the grave, it's like carved in the dirt. I was like, man, these guys, they know the hype is real.
Well, they know that there's an audience for like the alternative for like the big blockbusters, right? And they're just milking that. Well, I don't know if milking it is the right word, because it's kind of negative. But
like you guys said, it's like they know they're almost like the face of this kind of like indie movement. So they're just like, let's slap our logo on like this crazy backdrop. Like, it's like,
I love it.
It's just ballsy. Good stories.
Yeah, love it. Yeah. All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit. You know, what's an episode of The Cinephiles without superhero news? Am I right?
Let's talk superheroes.
Liam hates superheroes.
Oh, I don't know if I hate them.
No, that's not a hot take.
They save the day. They save the day.
That's true. They do save the day.
All right. Well, this was the number one entry, guys. And I'm sorry, DC fanboys. It's not super great news. I mean, it's not the worst, but it's definitely not good. Justice League ended its theatrical run as the lowest grossing DCEU movie ever. Ever.
Ever.
Below Man of Steel.
Me and Liam were talking about this morning. We were laughing because there was a tweet, and it was like, this movie made just as much money as Hancock did.
Oh, yeah.
People were like, he's just like a drunk, unknown superhero.
That guy could bring in more tickets than
Justice League.
Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, all combined.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Cyborg, everyone's favorite character.
Look, I love Cyborg.
I like Cyborg because I was a big fan of the Teen Titans animated show in the early 2000s. But like when they said that Cyborg was in this movie, when you see him at the end of Batman v Superman, I was like, Cyborg? Like, I know that recently in the comics they've kind of introduced him as a Justice League member, but like, people don't know that. Like, I read comics, so I know that, but I feel like it's a hard, it's a tough sell to be like, and we've got Cyborg.
Yeah.
And the crowds are going,
Where's Green Lantern, though? Where's my Green Lantern?
Isn't he like one of the like AAA superheroes, like
Green Lantern?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's an original member of the Justice
League. Do they not have rights to him? Or
no, they do. They just I guess the Ryan Reynolds movie
is so fresh and
freaked them out a little bit. They are plans to make a Green Lantern core movie, which would incorporate like many of the Green Lanterns, but who knows? Oof. Who knows if that's still gonna be a
thing?
I'm
snoring over here. This is
such Hancock gonna
talk.
Be part not, of the DC?
Not yet. It's just like I'm kind of on Liam's side here. Just superhero stuff puts me to sleep, man.
I love it.
And you
I'm
got
here
real,
for it.
You got real deep in the geek stuff there.
I'm all in.
Cyborg was a tough sell for you, and apparently the movie. Tough sell for the audience. True. I'm gonna jump into some numbers here, guys. Are you ready for this?
Here we go.
All right. Worldwide box office for Justice League, $657.9 million.
It's a lot of money.
Which is a lot of money. But domestically,
what I have
domestically, it earned $229 million.
Gee.
And if you compare that to, this was like the first installment of the DCEU. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Man of Steel.
Correct.
It earned less than that domestically. That movie earned $291 million.
Domestically, so, I mean, still, or
domestically?
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So in the States, which is pretty like the most important market.
But Man of Steel like was the first. Their first try, right? So like people were like still optimistic.
But I will jump in and say that Christopher Nolan was producing this right after the whole Dark Knight trilogy.
Mm-hmm. But Zack Snyder was also directing it.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder didn't have the reputation he has now when that movie was coming out.
He was, I agree with,
fresh
Justin.
Off Sucker Punch, wasn't he?
That's a good point.
But the trailer fooled everyone. I remember watching the trailer and it was like beautiful nature shots, dark, like emotional. I was like, holy crap, is this like a Terrence Malick movie? Because it's like so many nature shots, like shaky camera and stuff. I was like, this looks beautiful. This looks deep. This is a Christopher Nolan movie. And then it kind of wasn't.
But then
wasn't.
You see Superman flying across.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I don't know about this.
So, I mean, those are, they're not terrible numbers, but I mean, Warner Bros. Or Warner Brothers. People get mad when you say Warner Bros. So I'm going to say Warner Brothers.
They're bros.
They're bros.
Warner Bros.
Yeah. The bros wanted more money, obviously.
The homies.
So like, Not the best box office return. So I mean, box office return coupled with critical reception. What does this mean for the future of the DCEU?
I don't know. I feel like Marvel is just doing so well lately. Like they could never compete with the Marvel franchise. I find, first of all, their films are far too serious. Like for me, the only DC movies that I really, really liked were like The Dark Knight, obviously, and Wonder Woman, which was incredible.
Yeah.
And that was the highest grossing DC movie, if I'm not mistaken.
We'd have to check the facts on that,
but I feel like it was one of the highest grossing.
I think you're right. Yeah.
If we had a fact checker in here, we would be
with the iPad.
Yeah, sorry.
Gem with the iPad.
Next time.
But yeah, I don't know. It's not going well.
What I think is crazy is that, like, this was supposed to be their Avengers, right?
And this was their Avengers.
And the fact that this was like their lowest grossing is like,
it's embarrassing.
Insane.
Yeah.
It is their, I was talking to Liam about this yesterday. It is their Avengers, but it also isn't their Avengers. Because if you look at the path that Marvel took to get to the Avengers, right?
Right.
At the end of Iron Man 1, you have Nick Fury come out and he's like, you want to talk about the Avengers initiative? People are like freaking out. Holy moly, there's going to be an Avengers movie. There's a second Iron Man movie before we ever get to an Avengers movie. There's a Thor movie. There's a Captain America movie. They took their time. By the time we got to the Avengers,
I know where this is going.
All the characters in that movie, all the characters that you see, like in that famous circular shot,
other
of
than
like the
Black Widow and
even Black Widow was in
Iron Man, right? Yeah,
Iron
Man
2. Mm-hmm. Hawkeye was introduced in Thor.
Liam.
I knew that.
Hawkeye was introduced earlier, so all those characters had a chance to, like, at least get a bit of breathing room before it was like, all right, team up time.
They established themselves. They established the characters.
This movie introduced, like, half the Justice League. We never saw Aquaman. We never saw
Flash.
We never saw Cyborg. We saw them in the video clips in Batman v Superman. But that's it. And then they're like,
so
hey,
nobody cared about them.
Your favorite heroes are here. And it's like, I just met this guy.
Also, like in Batman v Superman, it's the first time you see Batman on screen.
True, yeah. Well, yeah.
That version of Batman.
And that's their second movie. So I could understand the appeal of being
like,
we gotta beat Marvel to market. We gotta like get this out as fast as possible. And I think in trying to do that, they kind of shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah. And I agree with that completely because I'm probably gonna say a hot take afterwards, but I'm gonna set up my hot take.
The anticipation is killing.
Like the reason why everyone loved the Avengers so much, or at least like one of the reasons why, is that, like you said, they had all these movies prior to establish these characters. So once you throw them into the Avengers, you don't have to talk about their backstories. You don't have to mess around with their past. You just have all these superheroes, your favorite superheroes together, kicking major ass. And that's why they like it. The fans don't like having to be muddled with backstory and stuff. The DCEU, like you said, they just swooped them all together thinking like, oh, you know, Avengers did this, so it's going to work for us. But like, you don't know the characters exactly yet. But this is where my hot take comes in, because we can't just keep bashing DC, guys. We can't do it. We can't keep praising Marvel. So I'm going to take a hot shot here. Hot pocket. Whoa.
Now
guys,
really
this
hungry.
Is really hungry. Okay. I did not like the Avengers for that reason.
Wow.
It's just, okay, all these guys come together and start fighting. Like, there's no character development. There's nothing. Oh, it's just guys totally dressed up in costumes fighting. And that's why I didn't like it.
They learn to work together. At the beginning of the movie, they're all...
Yeah, but you're...
Billionaire playboy philanthropist. That line.
I remember when I saw the Avengers in theaters, I was, like, mad. I'm like, why are they just fighting all the time? Why are they fighting each other all the
time? That is an established superhero trope. When two heroes meet for the first time, they have to be like... We have to fight. I don't know you. Let's fight. And then at the end, they realize this is a misunderstanding. We're actually on the same page here. I am, you know, it's hard for me to say like one or the other. I'm classically like more into the DC characters.
Oh, there we go. Chalk up a win for DC.
I want these movies to be good. I really do.
Why do you hate Marvel so much?
I love Marvel too. No, it's not a love hate thing.
That's a hot take.
I like comics. I just like comics. But when it comes to like the amount of comics I've read from either side, I read a lot more DC stuff and I love those characters. And it's just disappointing to me to see them drop the ball so consistently. And Wonder Woman was great. And it was allowed to live by itself and kind of have its own story. It didn't feel like there was no scene where Wonder Woman was opening like emails and being like, here are the heroes of this universe.
Right.
CC of Justice, as some people were calling it.
That's pretty funny.
I just feel like that's the strategy. You have to give these heroes some room to breathe before you go, let's tie them all together.
I'm sure Aquaman is already in production.
It's coming out this year, yeah.
Oh, man. I think they definitely should have put the hold on Aquaman and rebuilt something.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's their next step? Like,
they're going to hit the reset button.
But after Aquaman, we're going to have to watch another movie of CC Justice League.
CC of Justice. I think they're going to hit the reset button, and I think it's going to come with the Flashpoint movie.
Wow.
Which is smart, I think.
Yes. So, yeah. I just hope that these movies get good. I hope they get good.
Get good or get gone.
That's right.
Well, I guess that's just as good as any point to end this discussion on. So those were our top three stories of the week, guys. Thanks for all your input on there. You know, those were the three biggest stories, but there are also stories that don't make the episode. Right. Because, you know, it's just... we can only fit so much into an episode. So that's called that segment is called The Cutting Room Floor, and we're going to get to that in just 1 second. All right, we're back, guys. This is a little segment called The Cutting Room Floor. These are the stories that didn't make the cut. So we're going to talk about them now. And the first story that didn't make it was Shia LaBeouf. He's back in the news, guys, and he's going to direct a biopic about himself. But he's not going to play himself. He's going to play his dad, and what's his name is going to play him. Lucas Hedges. Lucas Hedges is going to play Shia LaBeouf.
Interesting.
What do we think, Justin?
I'm very curious to see what parts of his life are going to be on display.
Oh.
That'll be interesting. I feel like there'll be some focus on his late turn to like
performance art
and activism.
Yeah,
like there was the whole he cannot divide us. So that'll probably.
I watched way too much of that live stream, by the way.
I'm sure there's no amount of that live stream you could watch that wouldn't be way too much.
It was ridiculous.
I feel like that's probably where it'll end off.
Okay,
but I'm curious. Like, I'll go see it. I'm curious.
I did read that some of it is going to be like his turbulent relationship with his father during like his Even Stevens kind of child actor years.
Oh, wow.
Because his dad apparently is not a nice person. So it might focus on that.
But then Lucas Hedges is going to play him at Even Stevens' age? Isn't he like
well, maybe 14? Older. They might get someone younger, yeah.
True, yeah. They might just have like a flashback sequence.
My real question is, and you Even Stevens fans will get this, is who's going to play Beans? Who's going to play Beans is my question.
Just cast Beans. Why not?
He looks very similar.
Yeah, just put a little complimentary makeup on
Beans
him and he's
watching.
Beans if you're watching. Play Beans.
Yeah. Phoebe, what do you think? It's strange. Strange.
What I'm curious to see is who is going to watch this movie. I don't know.
Will.
It's yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It seems like a very, very weird concept. It seems really interesting.
Yeah.
He's such a strange character. He's such a like a wild card. I don't know. I would be interested to see where all of that came from. So
yeah,
maybe I'm excited to watch it. Maybe, I don't know.
Liam, like, you were saying you'd be down to see this.
Yeah. I mean, like, just Shia as a person, I think I'm, like, so fascinated by that guy. Like, I follow all of his like performance art stuff because I think it's like so intriguing and like
I, do
I don't
too.
Know what
I
this
agree.
Guy's up to. And I also like along to that, I don't know if Shia is like a good guy or not. Like I still can't tell like if he's just like.
I mean, I think we can say he's not a good guy. At first, I was like, he's cool because he's like honest and he's just like he is who he is. But then that whole white privilege, police.
Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't see that.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Okay, maybe
it's a little
racist.
It's a little racist.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah. But so I mean,
I think
a lot
he's
racist. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I don't know about that.
Oh yeah, watch the clip.
Yeah,
he's,
you should watch it.
He had a full blown like apology in an article or like in a statement. It was
okay. I'll watch that and then retract my previous statement. Of
like he's
not
the best
sure
guy
he's,
ever.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll do any part of the movie will be about him ripping off Daniel Klaus, the graphic novelist, for
oh,
that
and
short
then
film,
plagiarizing his apology.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, plagiarizing the apology, which is like
that's got to be like he's self aware. Like he's like
oh
he's,
for sure that's an anti apology
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
And then buying out that plane. That had the like an apology on like floating.
All
in the
right.
Oh, I didn't
yeah,
know
that.
Maybe I don't follow his performance art as much as I thought he did.
Daniel Close handled that situation well. He's just like, meh. All
right.
But
well,
yeah, that the live stream of like He Will Not Divide Us, not to get into politics because this isn't a podcast about politics, but
it's not.
No.
Be careful.
It's or not. Books.
But that was like fascinating. Like I like watched that. Because, like, you turn it on at any point of the day, and, like, people are just, like, yelling at each other.
Yeah.
I know it's not exciting to watch, but it's very interesting. Anyways.
Really?
That's not movie news.
I mean,
star hip-hop.
Yeah.
We're a little...
24-hour.
24-hour world
star. It seems like we're a little split on this. I mean, I'm gonna close this entry by saying, like, if A24 distributes it...
yeah, that's it.
I might be all
I'll
in.
I'll watch it.
But it was just on his forehead or something, yeah. Tattooed.
Unless there's, like, movies that Lucas Hedges has been in that I don't know about, he's got a perfect track record.
True.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Lucas Hedges is great.
Great actor.
So this was a big one that actually didn't end up making it, unfortunately. But Deadpool 2 released its first actual like full trailer. The two teasers before that were just kind of like little joke ones here. But this one actually showcases like what happens in the movie, kind of like what the plot is about. So what do we think? It looks pretty good. I mean, everything we'd expect, I should say,
yeah.
In a Deadpool 2 trailer.
It looks like Deadpool
yeah.
2.
Yeah. You got some fourth wall breaks. You got some crude jokes.
You got some movie references.
A lot of swearing.
A lot of swearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that even a Red Band trailer or was that just
I'm sure it was a Red Band. I don't think you can say
like
the
regular,
words that he was saying in a
it's
G
true.
Band trailer.
Yeah.
Green Band.
Green Band.
I did like the first scene when it's just Derp Hinder, everyone's favorite cab driver,
yeah.
Derp Hinder, just jamming out to, what was the song? I forget what the song
I'm
is.
A little
yeah.
Little
so lost without you. That one. And then Wade's just running. Start the car!
It's like the scene from Indiana Jones. Start the
car. Yeah,
plane.
Exactly. I was going to say,
like,
any time that happens in a movie is just... It's
I like when it says, from the studio that brought you 27 dresses. And
yeah, that's pretty funny.
That's
yeah,
pretty funny.
That's
it's
funny.
Pretty
yeah,
meta.
Was it the Devil Wears Prada?
Devil
was it?
Wears
yeah.
Prada.
Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
There's,
which is true, because it's all Fox, right? I think.
Yeah.
So.
Not to get too much into comics again, but they also tease some...
out of those comics.
Isn't it a comic podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're going to do some X-Force stuff. They already announced that there was going to be an individual X-Force movie. And
what's
in the trailer,
X-Force?
He
what's
goes,
the X-Force?
He does this.
No, we shouldn't be trashing comics because they're the backbone of film.
Yes,
right?
That's right.
But
yeah,
you,
every
you
film
hate
is,
Marvel
a com-
so
is a
much
comic.
Though,
right? That's
right,
true. Yeah, I'm out. You know what? You're right. Why are we even talking about this? I hate Marvel comics. but yeah, I don't know. Terry Crews is in it. Love me some Terry Crews.
I didn't know he was in it.
Yeah.
Zazie
so
Beetz.
Yeah,
I am in love with Zazie Beetz, and
great
she looks
Atlanta.
Awesome in this. She looks really cool.
As Domino.
As Domino.
Cool character.
For someone who doesn't typically like comic book movies, such as myself, I really enjoyed the first one, surprisingly. And I think this one just looks like a bigger scale.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I'll probably
different
see
director,
it.
But
it's the guy that one of the guys that did John Wick.
Yeah,
which I'm sure that
oh,
will
no, that was,
translate.
That was the first movie.
That's actually
no, that's this movie. I will guarantee that is this movie.
It's an interesting story because like Ryan Reynolds and the previous director had like such a great relationship, and then all of a sudden for the second one, just like huge creative differences, which
that
I thought
was
very weird.
Yeah. I know that I just said that I really enjoyed the first one, but that was one of my issues with the first one
was the directing.
That, no.
Okay,
was the
like,
action. Of the first one was that there wasn't that much focus on action. It was more of a focus on comedy, and I think they're trying to
up the
action
right
scenes, because it was basically like one scene split up into the whole movie, right? It was like that entire
for a good
highway.
Chunk of it, yeah, it was just coming, cutting back and forth from that highway.
So. I also think there's a major flaw in Deadpool's character in that he cannot die, as far as I know.
He cannot die.
I remember that was like another issue that I had with the first one was that there's no threat of him.
There's no stakes.
There's no stakes. Yeah,
but that's why his girlfriend's there.
That's right. Whenever there's a character who's like
yeah, but when he's fighting, I can't remember what the bad guy's name is.
What's his name?
The guy from Game of Thrones there.
Yeah.
okay.
I remember Dario. Being like, this guy, like, he's obviously going to win because he can't die.
Yeah, but throughout the whole fight, you know, like, his girlfriend is potentially going to plummet to her
but, like,
death. That's some stakes there.
That relationship
Those are
was great.
Stakes. Yeah.
Anyways.
High stakes.
Went on a huge tangent there.
Yeah, God, my God.
just touching upon, like, your whole action argument prior. They definitely have the opportunity to do this now because, like, the budget has increased.
I'm sure they gave them a blank check because the first
probably.
One did, like, crazy numbers.
Yeah. So, do we think it's going to be good? Do we think it's going to be as good as the first
one?
Well, looks good. Looks funny.
I hope it's good.
Yeah. I think we're definitely going to get everything we expect. You know, we're going to get laughs. We're going to get some pretty violent scenes.
There were reports a few weeks ago of test screenings being poorly received, but there's going to be some reshoots.
Oh, interesting.
The dreaded word.
I tend not to put too much stock into those reports just because you never know what this like circumstance was for those test audience.
True.
Maybe it wasn't the intended demo. Maybe there's a million different possibilities, but ultimately there's going to be some reshoots. So hopefully whatever problems were there are going to be addressed.
I like when superheroes swear. Give me more of that.
Big fan of
so,
that.
So, Liam, you're going to this is going to change your complete outlook on superhero movies now.
I would. Cuz
he's
say
just
going
to swear.
I wouldn't go.
Hey, maybe. He's going to swear every like fifth word, man. So you're going to love it.
I know you love swearing.
Yeah. I do love swearing.
Love swearing.
Yeah. We've had to cut like several times already because this guy.
He can't control
you guys
himself.
Haven't heard, but he can't
I love
yeah,
it.
He can't control himself. Just like Ryan Reynolds in this movie. Okay, so that was our segment called The Cutting Room Floor. And we're just going to talk about quickly the new releases this week. Pacific Rim Uprising is coming out. Anyone excited to see that? John Boyega's cool.
Yeah. I like the first one.
Guillermo's
Guillermo's gone. So
producer. Is he producing? He's not producing at all?
I'm sure he's got
he's
a
probably executive producer.
His name is attached to it, but
he
doesn't really have much
to do
with it.
Creatively.
Yeah. Not my cup of tea, but what is Wes Anderson, Isle of Dogs. That's going to premiere a limited run this weekend.
I love dogs.
Oh my God.
I heard it's really good.
I heard it's really
Me
good
too.
Also.
There's a little controversy though.
Let's not get into that.
Let's not. But basically the controversy is, Wes Anderson, he's a white man and he's making a movie about Japan.
Interesting. Okay. Well,
it is a very interesting controversy and I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah. Me neither. I guess
reserve judgment until we've seen the movie.
That's
it.
Sure. If the characters are all like stereotypical caricatures that are like
I have a hard time
lame.
Believing. I haven't seen
but
the
exactly,
movie, but I have a hard
I don't
time
feel
that.
That I know Wes,
I know
Wes. He's not going to do that
to me.
Me
and Wes go way back.
Totally.
And he's a very competent writer and director. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that wraps up our show, guys. So a little round of applause for us. Phoebe, this is your first show.
Great.
Congratulations. You did
and
great.
No applause for Liam.
Thank you.
Yeah, Liam's just at the end of the table.
No applause.
He's
no
cussing.
Swearing
Liam,
by himself.
Yeah, swearing like a sailor.
I've been swearing under my breath this whole time.
Yeah.
We can hear it. Your mic's right there.
Phoebe, thanks for joining us. It was a lot of fun. You were great.
Thanks.
And to you guys, to our audience, thank you so much for checking out the Cinephiles Extended Cut. And if you like this, be sure to subscribe to Mojo Talks. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. So for me and my panel, thank you very much for watching. We'll see you next time, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to subscribe to our Mojo Talks YouTube channel for the video version of the Cinephiles Extended Cut.